Let us turn to the word, Matthew 5:3 and Hebrews 11:20. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Again, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Amen. And let's go to Hebrews 11:20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. Amen. God is the fount of blessing. 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 Fount means the source, as in fount of water on top of a mountain, like water falling to provide that water for everyone who lives along the way, all the way to the lower end of that hill or the mountain for people to drink and live. So he is the source, the origin, the fount of blessing. Psalm 133, verse 3 says, he bestows or commands blessing. He commands blessing. And he blesses those who fear him, Psalm 115, verse 13 says. And Psalm 16:2 says, I say to the Lord, you're my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. So that's a confession of somebody who longs for God's blessing. So he, because he's a fount of blessing, he inherits the kingdom prepared before the creation to those who long for his blessings. How many of you long for God's blessing? Amen. You like blessing? Amen. God bless you. Amen? Yes. Everyone likes blessing. So it is very universal, but I want us to still pay attention and ask the question, how is the Christian blessing different? Or the blessing that a Christian ought to? If I'm a Christian, I ought to. Because faith is blank every week we've been talking about hearing. So the faith that longs for blessing is the title of today's sermon. So you have to ask yourself, how is the Christian faith different from the world, who also likes blessing, also like to be blessed? And that's why we're going to pay attention and see what the Bible says. So faith is, yes, longing for the blessing that comes from God. And faith life is then to be only satisfied with God's blessing. It is to be filled with his blessing alone, and being satisfied with his blessing all the days of our lives. Amen? Yes. Blessedness is the same word as, or same meaning as, happiness. So being blessed is to be happy. Christian, how are you? I'm blessed. There you go. Good answer. Yes, I'm blessed. That's in their family. So he says, I'm blessed. Yeah. His cousin says the same thing. I'm blessed. So I'm blessed. Blessed. So we have this sort of thing as a Christian concept again, but being happy simply. So blessedness, it means held in reverence, honored in worship, enjoying happiness. And being happy is the state of contentment. So I kind of see it as filling up your gas tank where it can't go in anymore, right? From empty to full, you can't put in anymore. Or more realistically for some of you, at the all-you-can-eat buffet, you're going to get your money's worth. I know, Johan, those are good old days when you used to love and eat all that you can. But now he's getting older, so he can't. So you kind of have to stop. But it's just like endless. And yes, I am a little embarrassed to say some of our COJ members have been kindly asked to leave. I know, yeah. But none here now. They just overloaded and is no longer with us. But when you're young, it's just bottomless pit, I guess. It just keeps on going in. So happiness is a state of being content. There's no more need, no more want. So it's also translated as, in the worldly sense, and sort of the pagan, non-believing context, would be luck or good fortune. And people love luck, fortunes. It's every culture, really. It's not just the Asian culture, but China being so big and Chinese people being many, very well known for loving luck and fortune. So there are five blessings. Wufu? Wufu? Yes, okay, I'm not going to look at Nancy. Wufu, right? Yeah. She's my critical teacher. It's like, no, wufu. Okay, I said wufu. Five blessings. And it's like similar to Koreans. Koreans believe in five blessings. Obok. Five blessings. And they even put blessings on the door. So they believe that five blessings will come to the door and that home will be filled with those blessings. So what are the five blessings? First is longevity, and then second, prosperity, and You know, you can live a long life and have long prosperity, but if you don't have good health or peace of mind, then it's no use. So that would be another fortune that they yearn for. And then having good morality. So they have good sense of what is, you know, sense of what is right and what is wrong. That good morality also is about blessing. And lastly, a natural death. This is so universal. Who wouldn't want that? Pastor Kang has said that in good health includes good teeth. Yes, I've experienced that this past week. Anyway, good teeth. So dental pain, toothache is very painful. Even if it's a tiny little space that you need x-ray to see for, but so painful. So you want to have good teeth, good health, and natural death. So a lot of older folks will be like, I want to just die in my sleep. Who doesn't want that? It's like, who doesn't want that? Die in my sleep in my room. Yeah, who doesn't want that? But the problem is it doesn't happen most of the time. It's what people wish for from the old days, ancient times to this day. Everyone, everywhere, in all eras loves and seeks blessing. So even to the point of sneezing and we say, what? God bless you. Gesundheit, right? So it's like in German and English, because in the old days, they thought that when you sneeze, your spirit left, that you might, when your spirit leaves, the body dies, right? So God bless you. Keep your spirit. Ah, yes, amen. Thank you. Then you don't die. So whatever the you know, source is or the legend is, that is what we practice. God bless you. Everyone likes it. Even non-believers, when you say God bless you, they like it, right? So it's not something that anyone will refuse or reject. So people like to fill up their lives, their minds, and their hearts with things and ideas of the world that may make them happy, and they feel blessed as a result. But the reality is, the more they try to fill up, the more emptier they feel about their life. So you will hear often about people who make it to the top, who will have all the things in the world, money and success and fame, and they could literally be living in a penthouse that's like $1 billion worth and looking out to New York City, the great city of New York City, and then say, I've made it, but they sense this emptiness. So they say, well, I want to have be in love, and I want to have a loving relationship. But even that, as we've been hearing, not all relationships will succeed. So they look for love and lasting love, but more than 50% fail at that. So they end up then becoming heartbroken and despaired about life, about their own life. And then you hear about people falling into depression and then try to medicate themselves, console themselves with substance, and in the end, very miserable, or misery waits for them. But this is reality, and this is universally true for all people, always, everywhere. Because as the Bible shows us, blessing, true blessings that is lasting, not just a year or 10 years or even 100 years, but eternally, that blessing, that happiness can only come from God, for he alone is the fount of blessing. Do you really agree with that statement? Amen. Or maybe some of you are going like, I think this is time when I'm supposed to say amen. It sounds right or feels right. But if you have really experienced the deepest, the darkest, low points in life, and then because of God, because of Jesus Christ, meeting him, because meeting Yeshua, you have tasted, experienced that joy, then you can say amen. The Bible is a book from the book called Genesis. That's the first book of the Bible. For 66 books, the 66th being the book of Revelation, contains the story of God's blessing. So it starts with God's blessing and ends with blessing. So the Old Testament, which is more than half of the Bible, 39 books, is written in Hebrew, and the New Testament, 27, is in Greek. In Hebrew, the word bless, to bless, is barak. Oh, sounds like someone's name. So barak. And it means to kneel. To kneel. And actually, in the context of someone blessing, it causes the other who's being blessed to kneel. That's more in detail, like in terms of explanation of that concept. So to kneel or bless. Because you can also see in the book of Psalms, praising God, bless his name. Bless the Lord, right? So that means we're not blessing as in like we're higher and greater than God, but we're lifting up his name. We're praising him. So in that context, we also use the word bless, but to be given, bestowed on this blessing, one would be led to or caused to kneel to receive. The Greek word is eulogia, which is to speak well of or to praise. It actually has a little bit more on the praising, lifting up, in terms of, in the meaning of blessing. So in the creation, at the beginning in Genesis 1, we see God creating all things during the 6 days of creation. The day that God created the fish and filled the fish in the seas and the birds on earth or in the sky, he blessed them. So in Genesis 1:22, God blessed the fish and the birds and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number, and fill the water and the seas and let the birds increase on earth." So to this day, there are many swimming in the sea and flying in the sky. And even if they don't get to fly, as in the chickens, we have a lot of them, and I thank the Lord for that. Yes, we can always choose chicken as our protein or eggs, right? So God bless many. Even though there are so many people eating so many of them, we still have a lot of them. So next time you're eating like fish roll, I don't know if you're into fish roll. Koreans love, or Japanese love fish, pouches of fish rolls. And man, caviar, there's so many of them, right? So many. Think about how many they could have produced, but I'm eating them in mouthful. You know, it's like... And then, oh my goodness. But there's still more because God blessed them to increase the number. Not only there, but in verse 28, after God created man, male and female, he made them, and he blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth." And God also blessed them not only to grow in number, but to subdue the earth, dominate the earth. So humans were blessed, like the fish and the birds, to increase in number, multiply, increase in number. But in addition to that, they had a blessing that the animals don't know of, and that is to subdue them all. The rest of the creatures are now under the ruling of humans. So ruling, subduing, is to bring everything on its knees. So everything will be bowing down or be subjugated to the ruling humans. And that's the case today. Do you believe in God's blessing? I believe it, yes. And that was the physical, material, visible blessing that God gave. But there's a hint of forthcoming, or foreshadow, if you will, of another kind of blessing in the future. And we see that in Genesis 2. When God finished his work of creating in day 6, on the 7th day, he rested by blessing the day and making it holy. So this is a kind of blessing that's not like the blessings that we read or we see and know about, which is more physical, visible, material. But by blessing this day, making it holy, God entered his rest. It's called the Sabbath, the day of rest, right? So the 7th day is a shadow of a type of blessing that is coming in the future. That is not material, but that is spiritual. What kind of blessing? Spiritual. Why? Why should we care for that? Because God made man not just in materials, but in the material man, dust man, flesh man, God breathed his breath, which is spirit, and made man a living being. So man became what? A living being. Genesis 2:7. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril the breath of life, and the man became a living being. A living being. What is a living being? A being that's breathing and alive? No, it's more than that. A being that is in together with the flesh. So the flesh is living and breathing already, but it's only one life, and it was blessed to rule the earth, multiply number, rule the earth. That's all physical. But into such a being, God breathed his breath. He breathed into the man, the breath of life, which is spirit, making the man spirit and flesh, spirit in the flesh. So that's called a living being. That's our ancestor, and that name is Adam. So when Adam became a living being, all men coming from him are living beings. So I'm a living being. Say with me, I'm a living being. And you, my neighbor, are awake and living being. Yes, a living being, yes. So this living being, why? Because God wants to bless, give spiritual blessing, not just material blessing. So we have to kind of understand that. It's like, oh, it's not just material multiplying and subduing all things, but there is something else coming for the spirit man. This man lived in the Garden of Eden, our ancestor, but in there was also a serpent, that's the devil, the fallen angel, the enemy of God, Satan. It was him who deceived the man to eat through the woman, the forbidden fruit. The forbidden fruit, that is the fruit of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, was forbidden because that was the command of God. God said, if you eat of it, you will surely die. So you better not eat it, touch it, or even look at it. But because he was tempted, he was deceived by the words of the serpent that said, you will not surely die, but you will be like God. Who's God? He's the fount of blessing. He's the blesser, the greater. You could be like him. You don't need to kneel or bow. You be him. So he took those words to be true and took the fruit. But instead of becoming like God, sin entered Adam and all men died as a result of sin, spiritually speaking, Romans 5:12. And therefore, Adam and Eve were banished from the garden and they had lost the blessing of God. So again, initially, they didn't really feel it physically, but by being kicked out from the garden and not being able to return to it ever, and this reality of flesh returning to dust, that was there. But now the spirit will pay the price of sin in hell by following the devil and with him being burned there forever, Matthew 25:41. But of course, men did not know that. So God began his work by calling on men of faith who trusted and believed him by showing them blessing. But stage by stage, he worked show that blessing. So God called on Abraham. He was named Abram initially, which is great father. But he's given the name Abraham because Abraham means the father of many nations. Wow, what a name, right? And in Hebrew context, name means a lot because it shadows what their life is going to be. God told him in Genesis 12, his name was still Abram then, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. So he went to a land that he did not know. He did not know where he was going even, but God promised him, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. God said to Abram, you will be a blessing. If someone says, you will be a blessing, would you be, wow. Yes? That's how Abram took it. He said, wow, what an honor. And he believed. He believed in the word of God and he followed God's command and left his father's land and he became blessed. As we know the story about having a child at the age of 100 and also giving that son as a burnt offering according to God's command. But he didn't have to kill him in the end, though in his heart he did. But he received them back. But not only that, we see the immediate result of that blessing in the next generation. So Isaac being his son, who was almost killed, but he lives. But not only that, in Genesis 26, we see Isaac plant. He was a farmer. So he planted crops in that land. And the same year, he reaped how many times? Anyone want to guess? 100-fold. 100-fold. 100% your investment. Pay attention if you like investment. Someone said, I want to be an investment banker. Pay attention, investment banker or banker wannabes. Yes? So 100%. Is there such an investment? No, sorry. I mean, we're like talking about 1% or 5%. Dude. It's like, wow, huge. But 100%? No way. But here, God blessed Isaac. The blessing that God gave Abraham was seen in Isaac. And he planted and reaped a 100-fold because the Lord blessed him. In verse 13 there in Genesis 26, the man became rich and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. Very wealthy. But the blessing didn't end there. The grandson of Abraham. Anyone know his name? Grandson. I know. I say it like that. You're like, grandson? The God of Abraham? The God of Isaac? The God of? There you go. That's the grandson of Abraham. What's his name again, by the way? Jacob. What does it mean? To grasp. And that's how he was born. He was born as a twin. He grabbed on his brother's heel and came out with his brother. Mama pushed only for the number one. And number two just came out because number two said, me too. You ain't going without me. And he grabbed. Oh my God, what a sight. So they named the older brother like Red because he was hairy. Esau. And then, oh, there's another one. I see a little hand. His name is Jacob. So that was his name. And like his name, he was always looking for the chance to grab his chance. So one time he tricked his brother to sell his birthright as a firstborn. And when he was really hungry, and he gave him a bowl of stew. And the older brother, who cares about this blessing? I don't see it. You take it. And he took the food instead. And then finally, when the father, Isaac, that they knew was blessed as a result of their grandfather being blessed, knew that when, because they understood, the blessing comes from their parent. And when the parent's about to die, he will bless the firstborn child, male. So when Isaac said he's getting old, so now I'm about to die, I'm going to bless. And then Esau, and both Esau and Jacob paid attention. It should have been just Esau, but Jacob, who's always looking for the chance, like, oh, this is my chance. So not only the boys heard it, but the mom, Rebecca, also heard that. So the whole three did their own thing, but the two worked together. So the brother went out and tried to catch hunt for animal to give the dad to make dad enjoy the meal and then bless him. While he's gone, the mother says, psst, come here. I just heard your father say this, and now's your chance. Now, Rebecca had received the word from God saying when she was pregnant, God has said, the younger will be served by the older. The younger will be greater than the older. So the word was there. She knew that was the destiny, actually providence that she received, that she would have to take part into making sure that that happened for her younger son. Not because she favored the younger son, but because the word of God. But she knew that if she were caught, she would be cursed as a result. That's what Jacob said. I don't sound like my... Maybe he was like higher pitch. Like, I don't sound like my brother. But my brother sounds like this. And my brother has like a lot of hair in his mouth. I don't have a lot of... Wait, anyway, so he was saying, there's no way that I can trick my father. He's senile, but he can hear and he can smell. And I don't smell... Maybe the brother smelled like man. Yeah, I don't know. And maybe Jacob didn't smell like a man, whatever that means. So he is saying, my father's going to find out and he's going to curse me. What if that happens? And mom said, don't worry. If there's any curse... Let it come to me. I'll be cursed in your place, but listen to me, follow me. So she cooked a meal and had him go in there, pretend like his older brother. Wow, the whole thing makes me like dum 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 dum, like watching the play on Friday. I'm going dum dum dum. Not because it's scary, because I'm thinking, please don't mess up. Dum 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 dum. Yes, every group. It's not even my group, but I feel that way. Anyway. So he went in and Isaac was, yes, tricked, and he blessed him. So after that, Jacob is like somewhere hiding, and when Esau shows up and finds out, father, I have your favorite meal, and then can you bless me? And the father says, who are you? You know, he's like flossing his teeth. I just finished my meal. Who are you? I already blessed my child. Who are you? He says, I'm Esau. And then dum 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 dum. Father says, who was that? And then Esau's angry. In Genesis 27, says, isn't he rightly named Jacob? So Jacob means grasp. But it also means a cheater, like a calculating, you know, a person. So it has a negative connotation to be named Jacob. So he says, this is the second time he has taken advantage of me. He took my birthright. Now he has taken my blessing. Then he asks, haven't you reserved any blessing for me? So you can see that they really believed in the blessing that comes from their father who was blessed by his father. So he was so desperate and said, give me blessing. And he even said, do you have only one blessing, my father? Bless me too, Father. Then Esau wept aloud. Wow, it's a heartbreaking scene. And retelling that in Hebrews 12, 16, 17, Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights to as the oldest son, afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected. Even though he sought the blessing with tears, he could not change what he had done. So the way blessing happens, and once it's declared, it happens no matter what. Once the blessing is taken away, it happens no matter what. So it cannot change. And Rebecca, knowing all this, the mother, finding out that Esau now knows and he wants to kill his brother, naturally, he says to Esau, you got to go on the run. Go to my brother, your uncle's home, and stay there until your brother calms down. And she says, why should I lose both of you in one day? Lose how many? Both. Who? Jacob and Esau. So what is she saying? She will lose Jacob if Esau were to kill him, right? But what does she mean by two? Because only Jacob was blessed, and the one who's not blessed, even if he lives, he's as good as dead. So that's the Hebrew concept. The biblical concept is if you're not blessed, you are dead. You're as good as dead. Do we need God's blessing? Do you want to be blessed? Amen? Yeah. So what happens to Jordan? He goes to his uncle's home, which is a foreign land, and he crosses the river Jordan with only his staff, with nothing, with only a shirt on his back. He goes, he lives in his uncle's home for about 20 years, and he doesn't live just hanging out. He works. He has to work. His uncle said, you have to work. You can live with me, but you have to work. During the time, he is, because he's smart, he's mating the animals and says to his uncle, like, okay, I'll work, but you know, I can't work for free. You gotta let me keep some. So, okay, fine. He makes deal with him and says, the spotted animals will be mine and the ones without will be yours. I think that is right. So it's the spotted. So he makes sure that the healthy and fattened ones are mated with the spotted one, so the spotted babies come out. And they were the healthy, fattened, good ones. Whereas the uncle's one, he was like, wait a minute, what's happening to my animals? They don't look as healthy as before. And meanwhile, Jacob's like, my spotted ones are over here, and they're growing and growing. So his wealth grows. Not only that, his family grows too. He falls in love with his uncle's daughter, Rachel, and for her, he had to work 7 years. And then his uncle said, not so fast. Not so fast. And on his wedding day with the daughter Rachel, he switches her with the older sister with the sleepy eyes. And then he gets her. And then it's like, you're not the only smart one. It runs in the family. So then Jacob then had to work 7 more years. But those 7 years went by like, I don't know, 7 days, 7 hours, because he was in love with Rachel. In the end, he had many sons and daughters, and now it was time for him to return home. I know many of you who read the book, you already know the story, but it's so relevant for us to understanding about how blessing comes, how important it is, because now he's about to cross the river back as the river Jabbok this time to go home. He hears from a messenger saying, your brother is coming for you. Dum, 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 dum. My brother? Why would he come? Oh, by the way, he's bringing hundreds of men with him. With gifts? To run a parade? No. These are fighting men. Uh-oh. He is coming for revenge. So when he realizes, if I get killed by my brother, what good is all my possession? All my family, my beloved ones? If he kills me, whose are they going to be? Not him, because he'll be dead. So this is where it kicks in, the wisdom. Uh-huh. The way for me to live now is to surrender all that I have. I need the blessing that comes from God, because God alone is my help right now. No one can help me, not even my loved ones, not even my animals, not even my possession, but only God. So he sends everything and everyone, his beloved one, from the least important to the most important. He sends them all over the river, and he kneels down to pray, and he meets a man coming near him, and he grabs his body, understanding this must be the man of God, answering his prayer. And it was actually, in fact, an angel that he wrestles with all night, and that wrestling is so intense, he actually damages his hip socket. So to this day, religious people don't eat that part of the animal, because they're thinking about Jacob. But the result was, he was given this blessing from the angel in the form of the name Israel. What kind of blessing? Israel, the name. And what does the name mean? It is actually the blessing that gives him the promise to receive God's help. You have struggled with God, but you have overcome. You have struggled, but God will let you overcome. God will help you, because this is blessing. So his name changes to Israel. Jacob changes to Israel. The people coming from him become the people of Israel. So from him comes Joseph, one of the 12 sons, because of his position in Egypt when a famine hits the land. Jacob and his family, all Israel and his family, all migrate to Egypt, and there they settle. So Israel becomes blessing, and it means their right to possess. Specifically, that right is the authority to take possession. Because by the time God sent Moses to bring these people out from their slavery in Egypt, they were now close to 600,000 male, maybe 2 million of people together. They were there for 400 years as slaves. Slave means no possession. You don't even name your own children. You don't even keep your own name. Slave means the owner has every right to do everything with your life. So no possession, absolutely zero. But on the night that they left Egypt, which is the Passover night, what happened? They plundered the Egyptians. So Exodus 12, it says the Egyptians favorably disposed toward the people. They gave them what they asked for. So they plunder the Egyptians. If you've been to the Met, you saw in the museum, the section of the Egyptian, the Ptolemaic kingdom, whatever, and you see people with the cat eye makeup, and walk like Egyptian with necklaces and jewels. And the when the mummy, they have all these jewels. They were very advanced in their time. And they're beautiful objects. And the Egyptians had them. And when the Hebrew slaves are leaving and said, and the Egyptians said, you want this? And they gave. You want this too? Take it. Take it. Please leave and never come back. So they sent them out with the treasures of Egypt because the Lord had given them. It's showing the name Israel is now, even though it was invisible, they couldn't really tell what kind of blessing that was. Visibly, they were rewarded. They had experienced the blessing in their life because that is the power to possess. The power to possess is greater than possessions themselves. Understood? Yes? So the Lord then commanded them to build a sanctuary with those goods, with the jewels that they, or the treasures that they brought out from Egypt. They built the tabernacle, and in the tabernacle was the ark where the name of the Lord God was. What is that name? The name of? Oh my God, I only have 10 people alive. What is that name? Yes, and that name is in Deuteronomy 8:18. Let's read that together, 8:18. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability. Once again, but remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed, like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. And in the passage earlier on, the verses before that, it says, when you settle in the promised land, which is the land of Canaan, in the land of Canaan, your life becomes comfortable. You build homes and you have farms and you have children and children have children. You're going to say, this is all because I work very hard. I'm a hardworking man. I put myself by my own bootstrap. You know, I made a man out of, I'm a self-made man. That's what God was warning them against. So in case you will forget why or how you got to be where you are, I want to remind you through the name that is inside the sanctuary in the tabernacle and later the temple of Jerusalem, that it is Jehovah. Jehovah, the Lord God, who gave you the ability to produce wealth. What is better, wealth or the ability to produce wealth? Try hiding a bag of money under your mattress. Don't do that. Because if the apartment is set on fire, right? Or somebody comes and breaks into an apartment, all that money is gone. So what good is wealth? What good is possession? But if you have the power, the ability to produce wealth, then wherever, whenever you call it, you produce it. Amen? You could say amen. I know you're like, should I say amen to this? This is not, don't worry, I'll get to the real point. Those of you who know it all, like, yeah, I know where this is going. I know where this is going. But say amen, amen. Yes, the ability to produce wealth is the power to possess. That's what they were reminded as they saw the name of Jehovah. And then at the same time, they were given the law which said, if you obey, you'll be blessed. If you disobey, you will be cursed. Deuteronomy 28 says that. Your field will be blessed, your home will be blessed, your travel will be blessed, the womb will be blessed, everyone will be your servant, manservant, maidservant, everyone will be servant if you obey. If you are cursed, then you're going to have mildew in your home. Mildew. I was like, mildew, mold, wow. If you're cursed, you have mold, you have pests, you have inflammation, so you have infection or some disease. All these things will come as a result of your disobedience. As a result, even though they did enter the promised land according to God's promise and conquer the six tribes that were there, eventually they became corrupted as they worshiped other gods and they lost the blessings. But because they still had the temple standing in their midst, they did not lose hope. That was one lasting hope, remaining hope. And by looking to the temple and coming back to the temple on occasions, like holidays and the Sabbath, returning, they will make pilgrimage to the temple where the name of Jehovah was, because they knew that that was where the blessing was. Psalm 84:4-5 says, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. So they will come back to Jerusalem, come back to the temple and cry out and pray. And they believe that even though they were cursed and they were taken as captives and they lost even their own nationhood, their sovereignty, that one day God will restore their blessing, that they will be blessed people again. So the temple was very important. So when the man claiming to be sent by God, saying, destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days, you can imagine how upsetting it was for the Jewish people, How dare you? We are already under curse. Without the temple, we don't even have hope. The hope of restoration, the hope of being blessed again, the hope of regaining the possession, the power to possess, the right to possess, the ability to produce wealth. But what Yeshua, the man named Yeshua, Jesus in English, but Yeshua in the original name, when he said destroy it and raise it again, he's referring to the temple of his body. He's saying about his body. His body that is of heaven, that is not of this world, that has the name of God in there, the Father's name, John 5:43. That name is Yeshua. So not through destroying of his body, death of his body and resurrection of his body, this time he will bless, not in the name of Jehovah, but in the Father's name of Yeshua, and not bless to give the land of Canaan that is material and physical, but as we read in Matthew 5:3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Say with me, what is it? The kingdom of heaven. And this, that kind of blessing will not be fleshly, worldly, or even practical, but it's a spiritual blessing. Ephesians 1:3, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. So all the blessings promised in the Old Testament in the name of Jehovah to the people of Israel, guaranteed by the law of Moses or through Moses, is all material, all fleshly, all worldly, all practical. But here's Yeshua declaring blessing that they had never heard before. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs will be the kingdom of heaven. And he continues on what's called the Beatitudes, the eight types of blessings. So it is very inconvenient even and unimaginable. But this is a spiritual blessing that God had in store and planned to give from the beginning. So in the Old Testament, it was the temple in the name of Jehovah. The people of Israel were promised and given this right to possess the land, physical land. But here is Yeshua saying, I'm going to give you something that you could not even imagine before. And that's the land in heaven. That's the kingdom of heaven. So even though his appearance might have caused men to stumble because he had nothing to make him attractive, as Isaiah 53:2 says, he grew up before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in appearance that we should desire him. He was born in a very poor town, in a poor, humble, ordinary family, grew up as a carpenter's son, but even the father carpenter is gone by the time he's, you know, coming of age, and many siblings. He doesn't come from this attractive background. He probably didn't even look that attractive, because the Bible would have said if he was attractive, because Bible does make note of that, right? Some attractive people that we know are Saul and David. These guys were handsome. But there's no mention of Jesus was handsome. Right? Nobody said he was handsome. He's just like an ordinary guy. But he said in Matthew 11:6, blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. So even if I don't have anything special physically or have appearance that is appealing attractive to people, blessed are you who continue to follow me in spite of all these physical conditions. Because Yeshua is the fount of blessing who was with the Father in the beginning. So with this understanding, let's look at John 1:1. So every week we look at it because we have better understanding each time. So John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. The one who was with God in the beginning was the Word. There you go. Ho logos in Greek. He was with God in the beginning. So this is a part of God who was planned to be revealed, manifested eventually. Verse 3 says, it is through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Who created the world? We say God in Genesis 1:1 or and on. But here specifically, John's telling us it is actually through the Word who was with God, who is God, the fount of blessing. It is through him all things were made. Do you believe? Does that make sense? Yes? And what happened to him, the one who blessed all things? He made all things and he blessed them, like the fish and the birds and humans, the blesser, the fount of blessing. And then verse 14 says, the word became flesh, made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. He is the fount of blessing who was with God in the beginning, the God who created all things and blessed the birds, the fish, the humans. He was there with him. When he called Abraham and made him blessing, he was there. When he called on the people of Israel, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, and the people coming from them, known as the people of Israel, the word was with him. That word was God, the fount of blessing, who became flesh. Therefore, even if his appearance looked very humble, very ordinary, nothing attractive about him, nothing desirable about him, he is the blessing from the beginning. Do you believe that? What does that mean? He needs nothing. Do you remember what blessing means? Happiness means being content, needing nothing, wanting nothing. That's him. Everyone else in the world needs something, wants more. Understand? But he alone is the one who came to the world and lived and died, not wanting, not needing anything, for he is the fount of blessing. Hallelujah. To reveal that he performed many signs. He called on the disciples to be witnesses of these signs. They were with him. They heard him. They saw him doing these things. And from one time they were entering the temple treasury and they needed money. And as usual, the disciples didn't have anything, and the Lord didn't have anything either. So they got stopped. It's like the subway turnstile. Stop. Like you have to swipe. They have to pay temple treasury. So the Lord turned to them. You guys have change? You guys have money? No. They're looking at each other. We don't have. You told us to leave everything. We got nothing. And then the Lord said, fine. Go out to the sea and catch a fish, and you'll find a coin there. But they, God bless them, they obeyed him. Because they also saw many other signs that he had performed. So they went out to the sea, and the first fish that they caught, I don't know how many fish they caught, but they caught that fish and opened its mouth. What was inside? Not another fish, but a coin, just enough for them to pass through, get into the temple. Do you believe that? That is in Matthew 17:27, written by the disciple there. Another place, obviously, there were thousands of people traveling to follow him and to hear his teaching. They had been there for days and they ran out of food in the wilderness. And the disciples telling the Lord, Lord, these people have no food. What do we do? I think they should go home and get food and maybe come back. And the Lord said, no, they don't need to go. You give them something to eat. Again, us? What? Thousands of people this time? We can't feed these people. And then says, oh, but there is something here. There's a boy. Boy, give me your lunch. No, the boy, this is my bento box. Give it to me. So they took two fish and five loaves from a boy. It's probably like a mound for one meal. But the Lord lifted it up to give thanks, meaning he blessed the food. He blessed the food. And then he gave to the disciples to distribute. So he didn't distribute. He gave the disciples. Why? So the disciples will, I see with my own eyes, miracle, right? So that they can witness. They're the ones who give and give and give and give. Thousands of people. How many people? In Matthew 14 there? 5,000 people, in case they thought they were like brainwashed and then they were dreaming. The leftover was collected. How many baskets? 12. On other places, it's 4,000 people are fed and seven baskets of remaining food. So these signs were performed to show that he is the fount of blessing and that he is the one who called all things to come and that he blessed them. And he came to give his blessing, but then that blessing is for those who will confess, who know themselves as the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So the poor in spirit there are those who have nothing. So ho putokos, so makaroia hoi putokoi. So and that putokoi there is putokoso, putoso, which means to being poor. They cower down, they bend, asking like beggars. Like beggars, they bend on their knees and say, "Please help me." What's the theme here? Being on knees, yes. The blesser causes the blessed to be on their knees, and the poor is on their knees because they have nothing. They have nothing, no way to live on their own. No method, no solution, no drive, no salvation, no healing, no comfort comes their way on their own. God only can help them. So they have made God to be their only help. There's no plan B. The only plan is God. These are the blessed. There's no righteousness of their own. There's no means to be saved or healed or restored. Even in the eyes of the world that they are losers, they are blessed. They are blessed. They are already blessed, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's why Yeshua promised. Amen? And 25, Matthew 25, 34 says, come you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. That's the kind of blessing that he came to give and promise. So the people who followed him because of the signs, healing, physical stuff, they thought if they keep on following the Lord, they'd be blessed physically, materially, like the blessings that their ancestors received. But Yeshua kept talking about this blessing that they knew not of. The poor in spirit. We don't want to be poor. We want to be wealthy, like Isaac, like Jacob, like our kings. Why do you keep telling us to be poor and suffer? All these things were so impractical. So all of them went away. One by one they left, and in the end they all shouted out, crucify him. Even then Yeshua did not curse them or defend himself. Instead, he blessed those who cursed them and saying, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. He died on the cross saying, it is finished. The moment of his death is when he completed the purpose of his coming as man. The fount of blessing coming as man, coming in a form of a poor man. Nothing attractive, nothing desirable about him. And even then, he had the very special thing that he can lay down and empty himself of, and that was his life. It was according to the Father's command, John 10:18, to lay down his life in obedience so that he may receive back his life and never to lose it again. Hallelujah. As he said, I know that my Father's command leads to eternal life. The greatest blessing that the Father can give him, Father prepared to give him, promised to give him, is eternal life. And eternal life will be had, will be given to him in the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. So Psalm 133 verse 3, where it says, it is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there is the Lord commanding the blessing, life forevermore. The Lord commanding blessing, and the result is eternal life, life forevermore. That psalm is a prophecy regarding Yeshua. So Hebrews 7:7, speaking about Abraham being blessed by this King Melchizedek, it said, without doubt, the lesser is blessed by the greater. The lesser is on his knees, surrendered and emptied. The poor in spirit is blessed by the greater. So it is yes, what Abraham did to receive blessing, but it's actually Yeshua who is the God who created all things and blessed living creatures, who became nothing, looking to the Father alone and say, Father, you alone are the greatest blesser. You alone are the fount of blessing. Bless me, Father, so that I may receive eternal life promised from me and that I can inherit the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. Do you understand that it is not about me, us being blessed? This is about the Son, Yeshua, who is God himself coming as man. But now he will give us the chance to follow his footsteps to be blessed like him. Hallelujah. He condemned the devil who stole all souls of men. And he shed his precious blood through his broken flesh. That blood is for us, the souls of all men. The night he was betrayed, before being arrested, he had the Passover, which is the communion that we have at the end of our service. Matthew 26, 27, 28, the Lord said, he took the cup and he had given thanks to about the cup. He blessed the cup and said, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. This is the blessed cup. What's in it? His blood. The cup is the blood. Why is it blessing? Even though it cost him his life? Because that is the greatest blessing that men can ever want. That is to drink that blood of Yeshua and receive life in the Spirit that cleanses away our sins so that we too can receive eternal life and possess the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah! Do you understand that? That's the spiritual blessing that God promised and planned to give from the beginning. Hallelujah! Yeshua was raised back to life and he was brought to the throne to sit down as the King of Kings, the owner of all things. He took the ownership of all heavens and the earth. Matthew 28:18. All authorities of heaven and earth have been given to me. He is seated on the throne where he reigns as the King of Kings. Do you believe that? You sang, hallelujah. Who reigns? God reigns. His name is Yeshua. Describing that in 1 Timothy 6:15-16, God the blessed only ruler, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who alone is immortal, who lives in an unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be honor and might forever. Amen. It's from there the Holy Spirit came in his name, not in the name of Jehovah, but in the name of? In which name did the Holy Spirit come? Who does he come to? Who does he come to? I know, I'm always throwing curveball to make sure that you're awake. Who does he come to? Not to the world. Not to those people. I like to be blessed in my body, blessed in my head, blessed in my family. Bless me so that I be the head, not the tail. That's Deuteronomy 28. To be blessed and you be the head, not the tail. What does that mean? I'm number one. I get perfect score in SAT. Ooh, I'm number one recruit in my company. That's Deuteronomy 28. If you want that kind of blessing, you have to be in the Old Testament time. But now we're living in the era of grace, the era of the gospel, the era of the Holy Spirit who came. The Spirit of God has come. The Spirit of Jesus has come to the believers in the world. Believers are those who have received the blood of Yeshua, drank the blessed cup. Say amen. You drank the blessed cup and been born again as a child of God. And you have received that blood that became a child in the name because you believe you received the name of God, the name of Yeshua. John 1:12. Those who believe and receive the name will receive the right to become the children of God. So if you have received the name of Yeshua, say amen. That name is the blessing. It's the blessing. It's the blessing, the right to possess. It's the right to possess. The right to possess. You know, in the United States with the gun violence, there's a whole argument about the Second Amendment, the right of possession, right? Right to possess and right to carry gun and interpret this, what the founding father said this and this and that. It all goes on back and forth, back and forth. So the right to possess bear arms, the right to possess land, the right to do this, right to do that. The greatest right that is above all rights in the world knows not of, is the right to possess in the name of Yeshua. That is the greatest blessing from God. If you agree, if you believe that, say amen. This is a blessing that God wanted to give. So if you receive that, then you are overjoyed. Amen? Am I the only one who's excited, overjoyed? All of you going like, yo, you have energy. What do you have for breakfast, lady? 2 Corinthians 12:4 says, to be caught up to paradise and hearing inexpressible things. Things that no one is permitted to tell. Paul's writing about being filled with the Holy Spirit, being carried up to paradise and hearing inexpressible things. Being filled with the Holy Spirit lets us experience inexpressible things. And what is that? 1 Peter 1:8 says, though you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you have not seen, you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Do you know such joy? An inexpressible joy, to be filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Oh my goodness, only 5 people. Or have you experienced that joy at some point in your faith life? Okay. Yeah, in July at the retreat. Or last November at Zoe. Wow. And then the rest of the time is what? To Jesus, carry the cross, I'm miserable. Certainly, our moods change. And certainly, the first love, that's why it's called first love, right? First love, the novelty, the first experience is very precious. But even that, Revelation, where it's, you know, in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, the Holy Spirit speaking to the churches, and it says, let him who has ear hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The message to the 7 churches, 7 early churches, is actually the same message to us today. Still the same living and enduring word, which is to go back to your first love. Go back to your first love and your first deeds. First love. Because right now you're like, I don't know. I don't feel good. I feel dull, numb. I get really annoyed when people say numb. Why do you think that is? Why do you think that is? People say it's like helpless statement. I feel numb. What are you doing about it? Right? So when people say, I feel numb, maybe they have experienced inexpressible joy. Have you experienced that inexpressible joy as a result of meeting Jesus, as a result of receiving the Holy Spirit? Certainly when things happen in life, you get into a car accident, you feel sick, or something happens at work or in your family. Yes, it can bring on fear. It can bring on doubt. Momentarily, we feel that because that's a response, a physical response, emotional, physical response. But if you have drank the blessed cup, you have the, and you have received the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the person of God, the Spirit of Jesus, and He's guiding, He's filling me up, then I need to know that I am blessed. I have received the greatest blessing, and that is the name of Yeshua. Amen? Who can actually experience that day to day? It is someone who has truly the confession experience that says, apart from Yeshua, there's no pleasure. Apart from Yeshua, there's no joy in my life. Apart from Yeshua, there is no hope. That is someone who has truly been blessed. Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, is such a person. First of all, do you want to be blessed by Yeshua, the blesser? Amen. That you need to have the experience to confess, to lead you to confess that apart from Yeshua, the blessing, the blesser, I have no other joy. I have no other hope. I have no other way to survive every day, each day. If you rely on your own brains and your own fists, on your willpower, in your family, in your job, in your money, you are not blessed. It causes, therefore, the blessed man to surrender living by the worldly means, material things that you used to rely on, your smart, your experience, your skill, your career, your profession, whatever it is, you used to do that, but meeting Jesus, you are blessed because you are the poor in spirit that confesses, I can only live by this blessing that is Yeshua. The true church is a church that rejects secularism, that makes these promises and declaration of physical earthly blessings. Do you know how many churches out there are still reciting Deuteronomy 28? You're like, what's Deuteronomy 28? Go home and read that. That's what I told you. You obey, you are blessed, going in, going out, in your city, in your field, everything. Your trough is blessed, your animals blessed, everybody's blessed, blah, 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 blah. If you disobey, your animal is cursed. Your home is cursed. Your job is cursed. Your workers are cursed. Everybody's cursed. So everything is retributional based on worldly, physical, material things. But even to this day, they call themselves Christians and churches. What they're proclaiming here and declaring from the pulpit, and then people say amen to that, and masses of people come. They don't need to evangelize. The preachers always be like, we don't have enough parking space for you, so please go to another church. Please go to another church. Send them to us, please. Yeah, fill these seats up. But this is the kind of blessing that they are highlighting, that people love to hear, and people say, oh, I was so poor, I was jobless, and I was on the verge of living on the street, but God blessed me, and I'm a millionaire now. So they give testimonials. And then they write books. And then they look to the pastor and be like, wow, pastor, you must have great power to make this man a millionaire. Successful. I want that. But that such teaching could be called the so-called the prosperity gospel or something else, but all falls under secularism, secular theology. So everything is material, everything is material-based, but it is actually of the Old Testament, which Yeshua said, destroy it. But such things are still popular. This is, and maybe not in the money form, but it's another form will be like, God will bless you and your life will be fuller. So every day you enjoy your life. So it may not be coming out and be like, you'll be a billionaire or millionaire, but they say, be blessed and your life will be fuller. Your broken relationship will be mended and you will not be depressed anymore. You'll be happy. And whatever career you pursue, whatever habits you have or hobbies you have, you'll enjoy them. Enjoy them? Enjoy them? Certainly we experience provision, healing, and restore relationship as a result of meeting Jesus and experiencing his grace in our lives. This is all legitimate. It's true. That's what the personal testimony is for. But that is to taste the blessing in our lives. If that were the case, we don't have the New Testament talking about the martyrs. Paul, who wrote most of those letters, reminding us of what a Christian life is supposed to look like, which is to follow the footsteps of Christ. Being Christian means followers of Christ. And followers of Christ are those who willingly lay down and surrender to be filled with the things of God, to long for the only satisfaction, and that is Yeshua. In the name of Yeshua, I have the power to possess. Even if I may not have, and even if I am surrendering and intentionally becoming less and less and poor. Intentionally. So there is a sign immediately after receiving the Holy Spirit, and we see Paul and John going to a temple, and there was a beggar on this at the entrance, and he was lame from early on in his life, and he was begging for help, begging for money. And Peter looked at him and said, "Look at us." And the man turned to Peter and John, "Oh, he's going to give us money. He sounds really strong. Look at us. Okay, I'm looking at you." And Peter said, "Silver and gold we do not have. I do not have. But what I have, give to you." "The silver and gold you don't have? Well, what do you have then?" "What do you have? Diamonds you have?" "No," Peter said, "what I have I give to you, and that is in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Get up and walk. Which the man had never been told before. Who ever told him to get up and walk? Right? No one ever told him. No one ever commanded him to walk. So hearing this, and in the name of Jesus, in the name of Yeshua, he gained hope. He gained strength in his heart and determination, and therefore strength in his feet up to head and shoulders, knees and toes. So everything from toes to knees to shoulders, and everything gained strength, and he held unto the name of Yeshua, and he got up, and he took his baby steps to walk and run and jump, praising God. Do you believe it happened? Hallelujah. That's the power of the name of Yeshua. Amen. The power it is invisible, but it is activated and ignited when one throws his body and his life upon the promise, upon the power to possess. He heard the name of Yeshua and considered it as his blessing to make it a reality physically. That's how healing happens. That's how the experience happens. Not because they're chasing after the healing itself as the only thing they want, but because of the power of the name Yeshua as the greatest blessing. Are you blessed? Yes. I'm the only one who's screaming right now. My level is like 20 and you're like 2. Are you blessed? Yes. See, you could do it. Why can't you do it first and you wasted my time already? I look at the podcast, I'm like, they're wasting my time. I need to get through this. Are you blessed? So the true Christian is this blessed person who puts every effort to be filled up in his soul, in my soul. Filled up in my soul with spiritual blessing and be satisfied even if my physical reality at that moment is not so ideal. Even if I'm surrounded and I am persecuted, even if I'm suffocated and isolated, and even if I'm suffering, even if I'm in sickness, even if I am poor, that if I seek the spiritual blessing as my first and foremost and most precious thing, and I am satisfied. So being poor in the spirit, putoso, means absolutely nothing. It is the sense of powerlessness and unworthiness before God. So first to say, I have no righteousness of my own. Yeshua, you alone are the righteousness. It is my faith in the righteousness of God, Yeshua, that I have become righteous. I have been justified. And I have been justified by his precious blood alone. Say amen if that's your confession. And also, it is to experience his blessing in my life. And that 8 blessings was in Matthew 5. Let's read that together. It's a lot there. But we'll read it quickly. The 8 blessings. 5:3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will show mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So it's eight blessings, and some people interpret the eight as a separate things, but there is sort of repetition or pattern there. But we understand the first statement there, the blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, is like the headline, the theme, the thematic statement for the rest. But actually, when you look at the very last, it says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. What is promised for them? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So the first statement and the last are actually the same. They work together. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So those who are blessed, already blessed, because they're poor in the spirit. Because they have no righteousness of their own. They have no confidence to live even a day without God's help. They have no desire to live, for there is no other desire, no other joy, no other satisfaction than Yeshua, my Lord, our Father, our Redeemer. There is no way to live except by His help. Is this you? So then it leads me to surrender and saying, I have nothing, but you are everything. Amen? Having a plan B on your own, this is not your confession. So we all have to have that experience of pouring out everything. Yes, with our heart, but I give you my heart, but then I hold back my money. And then where your heart is, where your treasure is, there is your heart. It's not my words. Jesus said in Matthew 6, you go home and look at that. It's not me. He said it. You cannot serve both God and money. You can't say, I love the Lord and I love, and money is there, but I don't talk about it, but I still love money. Because money is real for everyone. And if you say you don't love money, you're also lying too. Yes? So we all love because we need. Yes, there's need and it provides for us. But you say, Lord, Lord, but you're holding back what's precious to you, then this statement is not true. That's why I said in Matthew 13, 44, 46, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. This is a very hard message. Very, very hard message. And speaking like this, he lost followers. But he didn't care. Yeshua is making this important statement about the kingdom of heaven. Do you want to be blessed? Do you want to inherit the kingdom of heaven? For you to be blessed, you have to be poor in spirit. And the poor in spirit is someone who has become poor, who is confessing, I have nothing, I have no one, I have no other way but Yeshua. It is not just lip service, but with his life, with her life. It is to not have plan B, but he alone is my plan. He alone is my solution. He alone is my salvation. He alone is my help. I know this is hard, but that's why we need to pray and seek God to help us to break down and lay ourselves down, lay our treasures down, lay our lives down. Yeah, so you have to think about it. What's the most important thing and most precious thing, most valuable thing in my life? Because the kingdom of heaven is so valuable, it is to trade with everything that I have. It's worth it. So what is the kingdom of heaven? The kingdom of heaven that is given, when it's given to the blessed man, the blessed in life, they experience comfort from God. They will inherit the earth. It does not mean inheriting real estate. Inheriting the earth is like the realm where I'm spiritually active. I can expand my territory of spiritual activity, spiritual action, spiritual work. But it is also to have God's mercy and seeing God, be filled with the righteousness and be called sons of God. How many of you want to be called as children of God, sons of God? And in the end, see his face. Amen. And that is to receive, have the kingdom of heaven. Who is the kingdom of heaven? Remember what John said, John the Baptist, repent for the kingdom of heaven is near. Who is near? Yeshua. The kingdom of heaven is Yeshua. So the hymn song goes, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have Jesus than ambitious career. I'd rather have Jesus than spending time with my loved ones. I'd rather have Jesus. He's above everything else. Who can really confess that? It's not just a figure of speech, but in reality, the Holy Spirit leads the Christian to experience this power to possess, to lay down. I can see that when I see, you know, during our dedication, EM, God bless you. You work very hard to pour out your treasures. And we continue to do so. It's like, where do these people get this money from? You look around and the reality is when they sing the offering song. When they sing the offering song, the dedication group, when they come up and you're like, those people gave that much money? Those people put up that drama? How did that happen? They brought 50 souls? What? So in the eyes of the world and physically, it may not be anyone impressive, anyone who's rich, because it's the rich people are not the ones who are giving the most. It's not that. It's the poor in spirit who pour their hearts out. Some of them, when I look, my heart breaks. I know how they live their life. They're just giving and serving in their home and with their time and serving. Still, they're just giving and the husband's giving, wife's giving and pouring. But then I look at some people, it's like, you're kidding, right? Wow. I'm human. And I have limitation in my knowledge. But I could imagine what the blesser must feel. I mean, they pledge like $10 or $50 and they don't even give it. That's all you can say the whole year. Thank you for your goodness and your grace for me. And then spare change. I'm not telling you to give money. We have plenty of money. I also give it. You give, we give. But this is a way to blessing. Blessed are the poor in spirit is someone who recognizes the value of the kingdom of heaven. It's so precious. It's worth losing everything for. And I'm beating my chest because I'm not doing more. I want to be like Jesus. I want to see his face in that day. To lay myself down. And because I found the greatest joy, I could not imagine doing anything else with my life. So I follow him today. I was thinking about that. And someone said, you're what? You're doing what? I work for God. I work for church. I work to preach his word. And I'm happy. I cannot imagine doing anything else. And that's absolutely true. I cannot imagine doing anything else. What joy it is. Exceeding joy to commit myself to preach the word. To be his witness. Even if the world may say, you wasted your career and your time and all of that. In reality, I cannot imagine doing anything else. I cannot imagine speaking any other word but the word of truth. That is my greatest joy, greatest treasure. He is my exceeding joy, exceeding happiness. And that means, as Christian, even if we may be going through times that are hard and I may not have anything to boast about in the eyes of the world, I have the name of Yeshua that I use in times of need to call on help, call on money. Yes, I need money because I got laid off, I got sick and I got laid off, I got lost job and I need a job. Then be confident in the name of Yeshua. Be on your knees to receive his blessing, who blesses those who are on their knees, and daily finding myself on my knees to be blessed, then I can boldly use my right to possess. Even though I don't have any possession right now, I have the right. What is the right? It is the name of Yeshua. I'm going to say the right to possess, and you're going to say? I'm going to say the name of Yeshua, and then you're going to say? I have the right to possess. I have the name of Yeshua. So in times of sickness, I can call on help to come. Health come and health comes. Have you experienced that? In times of need of job, job has come. Have you experienced that? In times of need of help, I need a helper. Help me. I'm surrounded by harmful people, harmful situation and condition, but I need a helper. Come helper in the name of Yeshua. Have you experienced that? Then be bold. And even if you haven't experienced yet, now you have a chance to be daily on your knees. Theme is kneeling. Yes. I'm singing these songs like, wow. I didn't even pick them because of the, I just realized, wow, there's kneeling everywhere. We kneel for worship. We kneel every day because that is the poor. The poor kneels to beg. But not beg isn't like, I need money. No, beg. beg as in I am lesser and you're greater. I cannot live this day without your help. I cannot live this day without your provision. I cannot live this day without your confidence. You are my help. You're my provision. You're my solution. You're my help. Your name is Yeshua, and I have that name as the right to possess. Hallelujah. So we boldly proclaim this good news, this happy news, as witnesses of Yeshua, looking forward to the happiest day of our life. Oh, is that my wedding? The happiest day of our life is the day when we will see the face of the blessing, the blesser. As Revelation 19:9 says, the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. Revelation 26 says, blessed and holy are those who share in the first resurrection. When the Lord comes back, he will shine his beautiful face on those who have become poor in spirit for his sake, for his righteousness. You are my only help. I need you today. You are my happiness. I need nothing else. Let me not be spent and wasting my time trying to fill up with this junk. Let me surrender, empty myself so you fill me up with the spiritual blessing. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Close your eyes and ask this question. Am I happy? Am I blessed? Or are you just surrounded by blessed people, a blessed environment? Is blessing for someone else? Is happiness for someone else? Or can you confidently say, I have nothing. I want nothing. I'm totally satisfied with Yeshua. It is by the grace of God I am what I am. If this is a confession you want to make, you have to lay yourself down, surrender to live on your own by your own means, but to surrender and empty so that you be filled with the spiritual blessing, so that you can say, I want nothing, need nothing. I only have and need the name of Yeshua, and I have it.